Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. What is the continuing effect of COVID-19 or Chinese coronavirus, and should we be concerned about future threats from the Chinese government? Well, we're going to discuss this with my next guest. For my new listeners, Major General Paul Vallely is a West Point graduate, a retired deputy commanding general for the U.S. Army, a veteran of two combat tours in Vietnam, and a graduate of the Industrial College of the Armed Forces and the Army War College. Throughout his 32-year military career, Major General Vallely served in positions such as infantry company commander, intelligence officer, operations officer, and military advisor. His theaters of operation included Europe and the Pacific Rim countries. He has over 15 years' experience in special operations, psychological, and civil military operations. General Vallely has served as a military analyst for the Fox News Channel and is a guest on numerous nationally syndicated radio and TV talk shows. He's a best-selling author and the founder of Stand Up America. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Major General Paul Vallely. Welcome back, Paul.
Thank you, Abby. Happy to be back with you again in these very difficult times, I should say.
Yes, and we're really, it's always great to have you with us and looking forward to this update. So, Paul, the COVID-19 or Chinese coronavirus appears to be a globalist dream come true. Democrat leaders have taken full advantage of the crisis, and yet they didn't do the same with H1N1, which was much more deadly than this. What are we to make of this?
Well, certainly the anti-American, the globalist, whether it be the Communist Chinese Party or others, certainly see America almost brought to its knees here, but not quite, created a very vulnerable society now inside the United States in regards to the spread of the virus, the shutting down of our economy, basically. And that's, from our intelligence information, has generated a number of threats to the United States, which we can cover in detail if you'd like.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I just wanted to mention here, which was, I just saw on the news that I'm a little suspicious of Dr. Fauci from the CDC, because now, and because if you look back in his history, he's not a fan of the president. And he now is trying to project into the fall by saying there could be another outbreak of this in the fall, which I think is disgraceful. It's more this doom, you know, the doom and gloom, don't you think?
Well, I do, and he doesn't know that at all. Of course, anything can be generated in the future, but the speculation is not good. It scares people and, again, creates more vulnerabilities to our society. And so just like saying there could be 200,000 deaths, you know, it's all speculation again.
Yeah.
But they have to understand, even if they're medical professionals and they're working for the Trump coronavirus team, that we have to create confidence. We have to create a positive outlook that we're using the best of the best in the United States in the medical area in order to treat these patients, determine who the patients are, their risk level, and being able to put them in an isolated location, whether it's a local hospital or some of the field operation hospitals that are being set up, some nine now around the country. So we have to concentrate on today, what we need to do today, and then tomorrow, and stop the speculation out. The only thing that we're looking at right now is for the state governors to start unlocking the counties within their state that are very low risk and be able to start putting people back to work immediately. And we're requesting that they start doing that on Monday.
Absolutely. But I just wanted to say that I thought it was disgraceful on the part of Fauci to open his pie hole that way, to create more doom and gloom rather than hope. And that is not a leader, as far as I'm concerned. Do you believe this was done intentionally by the Chinese government, considering that they kept this under wraps from the world, knowing it was spreading since November of 2019?
Well, we do know from the fact that the virus was being generated within the Wuhan laboratory there, which is the only real laboratory that China has for studying and developing very advanced type of viruses, as well as the vaccines that could be used against them. And we have found out that the Chinese early on did have a develop a vaccine, which they started using immediately in China. And we know that the propaganda, the cover-up, was generated by the Chinese Communist Party, which controls most of the society still within China. And so they're very influential what happens globally as far as the spread of this thing. And, of course, we see now what's happened in Italy and Spain. And I did a show last week of why Italy's been witness with a very high volume of virus patients and deaths, as well as Spain.
Right. Will we see more of the same from the communist Chinese? And will we again make ourselves vulnerable? Or has the West woken up about this enemy?
Well, the United States has surely woken up for the most part. At least the president and his team are national security people, especially in the Department of Defense, where we have deployments over much of the world still. So from that standpoint, we're looking how we can ward off any threats. One of the intelligence reports I am getting that the next phase of this is going to be extremely powerful cyber attacks against the United States, its organizations, and much of that supposedly is going to come out of Russia and some other countries. So our national security agency has to be on top of that, because if they attack our cyber with a cyber attack, particularly our electrical grid system that Dr. Peter Fry has written about many times, so we have those vulnerabilities out there, but at least now we're aware of them. We have to make sure that we're ready, but we can't just stay in a defensive position on this. We've got to be very offensive, and I think that's what the Trump medical coronavirus team is doing. They're on the offense now, trying to ward off and solve this problem throughout the country. At the same time, the Defense Department is on status, being prepared for anything, even though we've seen some of our fleet forces with some of the members of the crew having come down with the coronavirus. And the military is taking care of that, at the same time maintaining readiness against any possible threats.
Right. So you see that we probably are making some progress in being prepared for cyber attacks from the Chinese?
Yes, absolutely. It's Chinese and others. Chinese aren't the only
right.
ones.
They're not the only ones, right.
But certainly when they see our vulnerability now, what's the next leg? The next leg is to cyber attack us and shut down as many things as they can, whether it's in the banking system, within our corporations, our national, international corporations, as well as government agencies.
Yeah. We even had a Harvard professor and two Chinese nationals arrested and charged in connection with aiding the People's Republic of China. Is this a sign that we're beginning to comprehend the threat that China is?
Oh, absolutely. And we've been blind to it for decades and blessed President Trump of really hitting this very hard even 2 to 3 years ago, telling us about the Chinese and their intentions, the new Silk Road that they've been trying to develop and extend out across Pakistan, Afghanistan, Turkey, the Middle East. It's the old Silk Road Initiative. And that's how they've influenced many of these countries, by giving them money. But they would also, these countries, give access, for example, in Pakistan, two new seaports, a large airfield, and certainly what they're doing in Africa and other parts of the world. But you can't, I mean, I was in Europe a couple times last year, and you couldn't go anywhere without seeing, particularly in Paris, about one-third of the visitors in our hotel were all Chinese. And they were families of the Communist Party, as we found out, because they could afford to send their families around the world buying Gucci and all the five-star luxury products that we have seen developed in Milan. Now, here's an interesting thing, Audrey.
Yes.
For two decades now, the Chinese, I'll say corporations and promulgated by the Communist Party there, have been buying into the textile industry in Milan and in northern Italy.
Yeah.
And with that, they took control and put in, I'm not sure what the exact number is, of Chinese workers inside northern Italy. And that's one of the reasons, with daily flights going back between Milan and Beijing, for example, that they were carrying this virus very early into Italy. And that's why we saw the eruption there to be as quickly developed as it was.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, because I recently learned about basically the Chinese have taken over the shoe industry in northern Italy. And I was stunned by that, but it's a fact.
It is a fact, yes.
Yeah. What other effects do you see or possible changes because of the COVID-19 or Chinese coronavirus for the future, especially concerning national security?
Well, first of all, we got to secure the people. That's what national security is all about. And we do that by being prepared in our hospitals, being prepared in the supply chain. We've got to bring all that manufacturing that we put over into China back to the United States, where they were delivering and preparing, I've heard, as much as 80% of the pharmaceuticals. So whatever that percentage is, it's a large one. That all has to be brought back to America, so we're not dependent on virtual enemies out there like the Chinese Communist Party. And so that's one of the things we can do from a national security and business standpoint. But we also have to be prepared, our military in the various parts of the world, that we're not vulnerable to any attacks, for example, from Iran or from other radical Islamist groups. Yeah,
right. Yeah, I was going to say, you see any other enemies like Iran and maybe the Russians that might try to take advantage of our situation right now with the coronavirus?
Well, certainly they're looking at it. That's what people do, that or countries do, that are considered to be anti-American, let's put it that way. I don't think Putin at all wants to go to war, but certainly you have some people within the organizations over there that we might see some cyber attacks coming from Russia, for example. And I got this feed yesterday from a good intelligence source that came from a Russian, that they had already hacked into our National Security Agency during the Obama administration and continue to be able to get inside of our computers and watch what's going on. And I feel probably that's true, even though our national security people were very working very hard and diligently on trying to counteract that. There's a new technology that's coming out that I'm involved with that will prevent hacking into the computers, and it's called the Mulberry technology plan, and we'll be able to brief you on that probably a later date, if we can get the government to go ahead and support this new technology to prevent hacking into the internet.
Right. You know, when we talk sometimes about cyber attacks, I know some Americans may kind of almost tune out because they think, well, their frame of reference would be, well, I get a virus on my computer and I'll just get it fixed or I'll get a new one. But this is very serious when we're talking about cyber attacks, isn't it? I mean, what does it affect how does it affect the average American, or how could it affect them?
Well, let's take our electrical grid system, for example, and it's, as this grid system is connected across the United States, those grid systems, everything is computerized now. So if a hacker gets into that particular computer, say operating an electrical grid that functions in New Jersey, New York, for example, and Pennsylvania, that they could shut down that grid for a period of time. And we've seen examples of that in New York. I can't remember the exact dates, but everything is shut down for a period of time. A test was done, I think it was about 2 years ago, in San Diego County in northern Mexico, where they shut down the grid for a number of hours. So those were all tests by hackers, as far as we know. But now they're prepared to really go in and attack these computers that run America, and electricity, and the computers that go with that.
All right. So this would affect what exactly, besides our power, one thing for sure, but what else could it affect in daily American life?
Well, you're not going to be able to do anything which requires electricity. Everything is shut down. You're Mr. Coffee, for example. Okay.
Oh, that's a disaster right there. Okay. You got my attention. Okay.
Or you can't watch your Netflix movies. You know, it's just like when your internet goes down, and that happens, and it usually happens out here in Montana, because the electrical system out here has gone down, either through an electrical storm or somebody wrecked and hit a power pole, and that happens from time to time. And that's why we all have generators out here in Montana.
Right. Well, so if we, let's say we had a situation like that, we're talking about not being able to get groceries, especially not produce unless you grow it yourself, anything that has to do with dairy, because you can't keep it cold, right?
That's exactly right. But here's another worry. Here's another threat we haven't discussed. If we don't put America back to work soon, you're going to start having a lot of riots. You're going to have a lot of people in the inner cities, particularly, going in and breaking into drug stores, breaking into grocery stores, and other commercial outlets. We've seen this in the past. And so once you get that civil disobedience rising as far as the number of incidents in a number of our cities, then that could lead them to martial law, which we don't want to happen. But we have to be prepared now. That's why we've got to put America's back to work as soon as possible and prevent a lot of disruption in the societies, particularly in the city areas, major city areas, versus, say, out in suburbs or out in rural America.
Yes. Well, I couldn't agree more. We have, even though the Chinese coronavirus has touched every state, there are many states that do not have the problem that New York does, and that they should immediately be able to begin going back to work. And with all due respect, I think that the president needs to tell Dr. Fauci to shut up when it comes to projecting into the future, because we need the American people to have hope, and what he is doing is trying to instill despair in them. Am I right?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And if you look at all the press conferences, 9 out of 10 of all those members there are very positive. It's only Fauci that's been espousing and speculating on a number of things. As far as I know and what I've seen, the others have not done that. They've tried to make this a team effort, create optimism and confidence that we're a country that can deal with these kinds of disasters.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna start a hashtag replace Fauci.
Well, he's a smart guy and he understands infectious diseases, but
there are better people. With all due respect, there's better people that we have in there. We need somebody who is going to be positive. You're in a leadership position in a time of crisis, and to project into the future negatively as he does, and he's just speculating. I can go off and speculate the same thing. And
sure.
And not happen. So shame on him, and I'm not finished with him. But anyway, I'm on the warpath now. So I'm for the American people. I want us back to work, and I want us to be over with, right? Well, let me ask you, where can the listeners follow and support until your next update? The listeners, every other week. I'm so grateful that every other week now, the general is going to come back and give us an update on this and other national security issues. So where can they follow and support your excellent work? Where can they do that?
Well, We've been around since 2005, the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation. They can go to our website, which we update every morning. That's at standupamericaus.org. Or they can mail us for information at standupamericausa1@gmail.com.
Excellent. And as always, I'll have these links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the honor button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the info and the links to follow the general's work. Thank you so much, Paul, again, for sharing your brilliant assessments with us. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.